that, right? Last night, last Sunday night, I gave you a few scriptures. And as I've been saying for the last 2 months, 2.5 months, the words that you and I speak can set the tone of the day, and they can also change the destiny of our lives for either good or bad. And this is the reason why we need to learn to speak faith-filled words in our daily lives. Why would I have to do that, preacher? In order to birth the good works that the Lord has already prepared for us before the foundation of the world, that we might walk in it. That's in Ephesians 2:10. God has already healed you. I'm still feeling sick. It's time for you to call your healing into existence. Life are made of choices. And one of the choices that we can make, I can make a choice to believe that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. End of story. But I'm still feeling. You're not listening. I can make a choice to believe that I'm healed despite of how my body is feeling right now. And when I give God a chance to say, to show, to manifest who he is, healing start taking place. God never did anything without first speaking it. Say amen.
Amen.
What? Every single thing that God did, he spoke it into existence. The words that God spoke were filled with faith. And you and I have been called to be imitators of our dad. In other words, God gave us the example. How are we supposed to go about life? So for example, the Lord said, let there be light. Isn't that right? After he spoke, ba-bam, light came up. The Lord said, let there be stars in the firmament. And ba-bam, there were stars. Let there be two big elements, one to govern the day and the other to govern the night. Ba-bam, here comes the moon and the sun. Jesus Christ, while was on planet Earth, when the wind and the sea got agitated, he spoke. Be still. And immediately, nature obeyed him. He's walking down Jerusalem, and the old lady, one son only, she is a widow, the boy's dead. The Bible says that he had pity on the woman. And he came and he looked at the boy, and the folks stopped, and he spoke. Young man, arise. And the boy jumped up of the coffin, and he starts speaking. Jairus' only daughter, 12 years old, had a fever and died. He goes to Jairus' house and he spoke, Talita Kumi. That's Aramaic, girl, get up. And she arose. So what you're saying? What I'm saying is that every time that God did something, he spoke it into action. He spoke it into life. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, tells you that the reason that God did this is that you and I may learn to do the same thing. Y'all not listening. The reason that God did what he did and that Jesus did what he did is because he wants us to be imitators of God. As dear children. I don't understand. Give them the New Living Translation. Watch this. Maybe it's easier. Let's read it. Imitate God, therefore, because. Did you get it? Imitate God in everything that you do. Why? Because you are His children. So as God spoke things into existence, so can you do. If y'all remember Jesus, when Jesus prayed, our Heavenly Father, which is on heaven. Our Father who dwells in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now God's will on earth has to be enforced by you and I speaking faith-filled words, kingdom principles. I told you, some of you didn't believe. A month ago, I took the first one to Dr. John Dalto with strep throat. And he says, you're next. I said, no, I'm not. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that word. A few days later, took the daughter. Strep throat, you're next. No, I'm not. In the name of Jesus, I bind those words. Then a day after, take all the kids. You're next. I said, Doc, stop this nonsense. I'm not gonna be next. I will not have strep throat in the name of Jesus. Okay, you may say whatever you want. I'm gonna call him tomorrow. Hey Doc, 4 weeks, and I still haven't got strep throat. Why? I speak my healing into existence. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. By Jesus' stripes, I will not have strep throat. End of story. And that's not going to change. It's telling you, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are His dear children. So tonight I want to go over with you a few things that you have to change your way of talking. This morning we were talking about marriage and hurts. Remember that? Rejection and despisement. Tonight, I want to mention something that will stay on the same line. What is it you're going to mention? I'm going to mention about our families. How many times you hear parents say, these kids are a headache. They drive me nuts. They're always fighting. Can I hear an amen? So how do I speak about my children? I want you to listen carefully to me. Brother Harry, start looking for Isaiah 54:13. Say it with me. Great is the peace of my children.
Great is the peace of my children.
For they are taught of the Lord.
Not of the TV.
What a nonsense is this, preacher? Nonsense? Leave them on the TV and then you see what nonsense is all about. But instead of telling how bad your kids are, how they are fighting among themselves all the time, you can't have peace in the house because they're always fighting, running, screaming, you will say it with me again, great is the peace of my children.
Great is the peace of my children.
For they are taught of the Lord,
not of the TV.
Listen to this. Well, let's read it. I will teach. And? Tell a neighbor, God wants to teach your children. So they can enjoy peace. Are y'all listening to me here? The tones of our words can make a world of difference. When we speak faith-filled words, God has some ammunition to work with. Can I hear an amen? So instead of talking bad about our children, or how bad they are, or how noisy they are, or how they are always fighting, we're going to say, great is the peace of my children. Huh? For they are taught of the Lord. Now listen to the same thing on the backslider translation. It's a little crazy, but I still want to show you. Watch this. Let's read it. All your children will have God.
Amen.
Y'all got that? All your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You know, even the never inspired version says it well. Watch this. All your sons will be and go around and tell somebody you have peaceful children. Huh? We're going to speak this into life right now. Faith-filled words. Say with me, I have peaceful children.
They are taught of the Lord.
Not of television. I had a phone call by a young lady recently, and I'm not going to call name. She's not from our congregation, but some of you may know this young lady. She said, "Preacher, I know that I ain't your sheep, but I'm struggling with weight." "Why are you struggling with weight?" She said, "Every time I pass by McDonald's, I'll get the biggest burger that they have and a half a gallon soda, and within 1 hour, I'm hungry again." So that has an explanation. The junk that you are eating is modified food that will alter the chemical imbalance of your brain so that by the time you finish, within an hour, you're hungry again because the chemicals and all the junk, the synthetic things that they mix on the burger, overpower your brain. And although you are already filled, your brain thinks that you still need food. And this young lady said, the doctor say if she does not lose 200 pounds within 12 months, she will be permanently on insulin and doesn't have much chances to make the 40. This young lady is 28 years old. So I am thinking here, Lord, how can I help this young lady? I'm listening. I said, okay, I want you to say something with me and this biblical concept. And I wrote it down. I told her, say with me, she said, I don't desire to eat so much that I become overweight. I choose to present my body to God. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwell in me. I'm not my own. I am bought with a price. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to overeat. Body, settle down in the name of Jesus. That was the prayer. She said, you have any scripture to back that up? I said, absolutely do it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And I'm going to give you the scripture. I'm going to read the scripture with you, and then we're going to pray the same prayer. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:19. For people that have that eating disorder. Oh, I'm helpless. I'm trying to lose weight, but the more I pass by McDonald's, the worse it becomes. You have to remember this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. Now listen to the same thing here on the New Living Translation. Watch this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You still with me, right? Now let's go to the backslide of translation. Watch this. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property, belong to the spiritual part of you. You get, you're getting the point, right? Now let's go to Romans 12:1. Oh, I know. All right. If you know, great. It will be easy for you to recite with us. Romans 12:1. Let's read. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the New Living Translation puts it a little better. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all he has done for you, let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find accepted. Are you getting that? Now let's go to the backslider translation. So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. So I want you to say with me, I don't desire to eat so much that I will become overweight. But I choose to present my body to God as a holy sacrifice. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me. I'm not of my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to overeat. Body of mine, settle down in the name of Jesus and conform with the Word of God. I command my appetite to get in line with the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen. Along my Christian journey, and in many places that we have lived, one of the favorite things that people like to talk about is how they wish they had money. What is the problem? Wishing to have money. It's no problem when you're not putting your hopes on the money. But if you are waiting to have money so you can get your life moving, you're in bad shape. Because Jesus is the pillar that holds your life together. Jesus is your source. Some people forget to live because they are waiting for the breakthrough. Little do they know that the breakthrough may be just around the corner in those little things that they are doing. When they allow God to be God. Now let me tell you this. Each one of us have material needs. Say amen. Amen. So when the difficult times and the material needs are here, what do I do? Confessing that you don't have is not going to help you. But you can speak faith-filled words that will be able to reverse whatever negative situation, financial situation you may be in. We needed $200,000 to pay for the construction. Instead of talking about the need, we start thanking God for the $200,000 that was coming. And it is on the bank right now. So now, in the next prayer week, we're going to start thanking God for the other $250,000. What? Yep. Actually, that will be to finish the outside. Then we'll need another $300,000 for the interior, which we're going to call into existence in the same way. Why? Because we speak faith-filled words. And I'm going to give something for you to chew on. Brother, can you put out there Deuteronomy 28:3? I want you to get this straight. Are you with me? I want you to get this straight. In the time of financial needs or necessity, the best thing that you can do is speak faith-filled words like these. Read it with me. God's blessing inside the city. God's blessing in the county. Now let's go to the New King James. Make it easy for you to understand. Blessed shall you be and... Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, how many of you think that this thing can really happen? Thank God. Everybody believes. So what are you going to do? We're going to call it into existence. If God says so, I have not caught God in a lie yet. Anybody here caught God in a lie?
No.
And never will. That's right. Because God cannot lie. So if God says in His word, blessed shall you be in the city, no matter which city, it could be Michigan, could be Baltimore, whatever city you are, when you're following God, you shall be blessed on the city. Well, preacher, I am not blessed. Because you're not serving God. Now, unfortunately, in our country, we come to the deplorable way that we want God to serve us all the goodies, and then when we get all the goodies, we go out and buy a 72-inch plasma TV and can't come to church because we're too tired, but we can spend a whole day to watch this stinking TV. You know what? If that's the attitude, you're going to be living from paycheck to paycheck your whole entire life. But if we are serving God, He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall we be in the country. You want to see how nice it gets? Put verse 8 over there, brother. Same chapter, verse 8. Watch this. Let's read it. The Lord will... Okay, third graders, let me put it in the New Living Translation because you are just a blessing. You know, reading like third graders. Let's read it together now. This is New Living Translation. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. When you are following Jesus, you have a guaranteed blessing.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
There's not going to be no lack on anything. Why He would do that? Because Christ has redeemed His followers from the curse of poverty. Galatians 3:13, we all know out of heart, Christ has bought us back, redeemed us from all the curse of not following Jesus. But Christ has, from the curse pronounced by the law, when He was hung on the cross, He took up Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, so because Jesus rescued us, redeemed us, brought us back to God from all the curses, financial curses, that are there for not following Him, on the moment we came to Him, curses were expunged. And then we hear that He promises that the blessings is going to hunt you down on the city and in the country. Somebody just challenged me on that one. Well, that's in the Old Testament. I said, you don't know the Bible. No, it's in Deuteronomy 28. I said, you don't know your Bible. Brother, the thing that God's going to bless us abundantly is on the Old Testament. I said, check Galatians 3:14. And then when the person read Galatians 3:14, I'm sorry, preacher. I said, you don't have to be so. Just say, I don't know my Bible as I should. What? Just say, I don't know my Bible as I should. Shame on me. Here's the answer. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed who?
The Gentiles.
How?
The same.
God has blessed Gentile people with the same blessing that come to my dad, Abraham. Which means you are included. There's no reason for church people to be talking about, oh man, I'm going through a tough time financially. Those are not faith-filled words. Those are damning words. Are you getting how our language can change the course of things? Huh? God promises to bless you with the same blessings he promised to Abraham. I'm going to bless him as this. You should know your Bible. Everybody likes blessings, right? So go hunt your Bible, find out where the blessings are. Check all the word, the whole Bible, whatever the word blessings are, write it down. So you can see what Abraham got and you can get too. In case you don't know, the blessings of Abraham are spoken in Genesis 13:2. Huh? The blessings spoken to Abraham are found in Genesis 13:2. Watch this. Abraham was? This is what God wants to give to you. Say amen, please.
Amen.
My goodness, what's wrong with you all tonight? Maybe you should say with me, Christ has redeemed me,
from the curse of the law,
from poverty,
from sickness.
From spiritual death.
He has given me wealth,
for sickness.
He has given me health,
for death.
He has given me eternal life,
instead of punishment.
Amen.
So what you're saying, preacher? Stop talking about how much financial difficulty you have. Speak faith-filled words. Every time God did something, he spoke into life. So you speak your way out of poverty. Can you put John 5:24 over there? It has nothing to do. But that will help to clear the mind of some people. I know you're going to say, what in the world is he talking about? John 5:24. Let's read it. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message do you believe that that is true?
Yes.
So why don't you believe that he can bless you financially? Are you with me?
Yes.
If we can believe that this is true, how come we can believe that he has the ability to get out of poverty land? Can you put up there Isaiah 53? Verse 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sin. He was beaten. He was whipped. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. everything is covered. Say, everything is covered.
Everything is covered.
Everything is covered in Calvary Cross. You know, somebody called here and said, you know, I don't come to your church anymore. Said, excuse me, I don't have a church. It's the church of the living God. Yeah, but you're the boss. I'm not. Jesus is the boss. I'm the water bucket boy. If you tell me to give you a mess, I'll give it. That's all. I don't like this thing of. You know, no, I don't. You talk about that we can be. Relax, just relax, relax. Let's start over again. This poverty thing. Okay, go on. Just take your time. Well, I don't believe that we can be rich. So, and what do you mean, and? Well, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change the truth. The truth is the truth, even when nobody believes it. But God says that you shall be blessed on the city. You shall be blessed on the country. It says that blessing shall overpower you. Now you don't like that. That is your business. And the problem with this is words are spoken out of faith. You know, without faith can cause a big damage. Brother, put over there Psalm 119:25. Have you known somebody that has been blessed by these blessings that God has spoken about? Do you know somebody that has been blessed by the promises of God? Anybody here know somebody? Right? A lot of people will say, well, it happened to other people, but not to me. Baloney. Psalm 119:25. Give me the New King James. So, I made a mistake here. Oh, well, my soul clings to the dust. No, that's not it. Revive me according to your word. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Maybe it's 125. I was reading, and this thing was brought into my attention. And I was so excited about it, I may have written the wrong. Oh, well, I'm going to look at there's a script in Psalm 119 that says, it is true unto me according to the word of God. I'll find it. I'll give it to the next service. Now, I want you to say something with me. I delight myself in the Lord.
I delight myself in the Lord.
Therefore, you will give me the desires of my heart. Let's say it again. I delight myself in the Lord. Therefore, you will give me the desires of my heart. If you would have a child that always would do what you ask them to do, and they come and said, Mom, Dad, can you buy me a small car for me to go back and forth to school, and you have the means, would you do that? We will do it even if they don't do what we tell them to do. Is that right? No, this one is 37, Psalm 37:4. Brother, put it up there, Psalm 37:4. Say with me, I delight myself in the Lord.
I delight myself in the Lord.
Therefore,
you will give me
the desires of my heart.
Look
at this. Delight yourself also in the Lord. You're allowed to delight yourself on many things, but make sure that the Lord is part of the menu. Are you with me? Some people will delight in scuba diving. Some people will delight in skydiving. Some people will delight in football. Some people will delight themselves at McDonald's. Just make sure that the Lord is part of the menu. This is why he say, delight yourself also in the Lord. Make him part of the program. And when you do that, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Say with me, I delight myself in the Lord.
I delight myself in the Lord.
And therefore, you will give me the desires of my heart.
You will give me the desires of my heart.
Still on this subject of financial and prosperity. Never say, I wish I had so. Never say that. What's wrong with it? You're going to live in wishful land. So what do? Speak faith-filled words. Something like this. I want you to repeat with me. There is no lack in my life.
There is no lack in my life.
There is no lack in my home.
There is no lack in my home.
Because my God
will supply all my needs
according to his riches. Therefore, there is no lack in my life.
There is no lack in my home.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
You know the scripture, right? Philippians 4:19. So instead of saying, I wish I had a new roof in my house. In the name of Jesus, my God promised to supply all my needs. I need a new roof. So Lord, I command this roof to come about within the next 90 days. How's going to pay? It doesn't matter. If God said that he will supply your needs, guess what? He will. How? I don't care how he's going to do it. Don't try to figure God out. You can't. Our mind is very limited, very short. You can't figure. I mean, just imagine Elijah. God said, get up. Eat the food. He got up and ate, and he went back to sleep. What a lazy boy. Elijah, yes? Get up and eat. Get up and eat. Went back to sleep. Sweet life, huh? Third time the angel say, Elijah, yes? Get up and eat. I did. Eat some more because you're going to need some sustenance. And he ate. And with that bread made by angels, say amen. He walked 40 days. Y'all know it cannot be a regular baker. You know what I'm talking about? It has to be an angel. Now, who would ever think that in the middle of nowhere, fresh bread and water too. Isn't God something? After he walked for 40 days, he came to Damascus in Syria. It took 40 days from where he was to arrive in Damascus, Syria. And then he was somewhere hiding in there, and the Bible says that he was hungry, and birds, ravens, brought him food, and he ate. Now, who in the world would think that God would use a bird to feed me? Oh, he did to Elijah. Maybe you're better than Elijah. So we should not speak about the lack, but we should speak faith-filled words based on the Word of God. You remember that one time the Roman tax collector came to collect the taxes, right? Judah was stealing all the money that came in. Suzanne was married to a Roman official. And Luke says that she supplied Jesus with the goods, with her money. She brought a heavy tithe, so that would be food for all the disciples and Jesus himself and the whole gang. But when the time came to pay taxes, there was no money because Judas was stealing it. The Lord knew it. Came to collect the taxes. This is Internal Revenue Service. Taxes. Just said, sit down, boy. Peter, yes, sir? Go cast your net. Yes, sir? The first fish that you catch, open the fish mouth. There's going to be a coin there that's worth $4,000. Pay for all of us. Yes, sir? Did you hear what Jesus said? Go cast out the net. Isn't that right? And the first fish you find, open the mouth, and it's going to be there. And the Bible says that Peter got up and he cast the net. Only one fish came, sent by God. And that fish had eaten a silver coin. When he opened the fish mouth, oh, there it is. Excuse me, Mr. Fish. Took the coin, tossed the fish back on there. Go ahead. We're not going to eat you today. Washed the coin, came back here. Good enough? They mark. And the IRS guy went away. What you talking, preacher? Jesus never spoke about the problem. He spoke the solution. Are you with me here? He spoke the solution. Therefore, you and I are challenged tonight as imitators of God to speak faith-filled words. Say with me, there's no lack in my home.
There's no lack in my home.
There's no lack in my family's life.
There's no lack in my family's life.
Because my God will supply,
God will supply
all our needs.
All
according to his riches and glory.
Glory.
Don't speak about the doom. Don't speak about the negative thing. Don't speak about the bad stuff. Speak about the solution that can be found in Christ Jesus. Amen. Say with me, I'm a friend of God. And I know that all of God's promises in Christ Jesus
are
yes
and amen.
I'm speaking my blessing into existence
with faith-filling words
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brother preacher.